Hey guys, it's Jared Carabas, and you are watching the It's Content Podcast.
Shit is a jam, shit is a jam. I can tell who's on the way out. 25 show, check the payout. I ain't going home, I'ma stay out. Motherfuckers hate you when they looking for a way out. I just sit back and let it play out.
Back on the record. We're here, man. It's Content Podcast. We're currently in NASA's headquarters right now. We got the rocket ship next to us. Jared Carabas, thanks for coming on, buddy. We appreciate it.
It's about fucking time. Can we swear on this?
Yep. Yeah, buddy. Do whatever you want. All this right. is, you know, that. We don't have any sponsors, nothing. Maybe cause soon. Yeah, we'll see. But yeah, we appreciate you coming on. It's been a long time coming. Number one, the hoodie's great. I love the hoodie. Have you been there recently?
No, but I'll be there on Wednesday night. I don't know if you know, but where is your Thanksgiving Eve spot? Because Saugus, it's Kowloon. Like Thanksgiving Eve is, I mean, that's my Super Bowl.
Every year
you go to Kowloon. And then it was a Saugus thing. And then like they took it from us.
Why? What do you mean they took it from
us? Like now all the towns go there because Kowloon. Like started as a Saugus thing and now it's like a national thing.
So what do you get? Like St. Mary's, Lincoln,
everybody, there, everyone goes there. Like Peabody. I went there last year and I definitely had more people like come up to me that were not from Saugus than Yeah, it was way more like random people than like stop and chats with people that you went to high school with.
Are you popular in the Saugus crowd or are you kind of like...
Not really.
Really? Interesting.
Like, you are. Like yes, I think more so... now like there's been like that phase of like people, we're at the point of acceptance now.
Right. You got a pitcher in Kowloon's though. So that's, you know.
Yeah, I mean like there's nothing that they can say now, but for a long time they didn't love the fact that I was like doing something with my life.
Well, yeah, I mean that I feel like we deal with that a little bit. I mean not as much anymore. Definitely when we first started, but you know, I mean, we're not even close to where we want to be, which is like kind of weird. So we'll see what happens. But you know what I did see? I saw those, the John Cena Kowloon Jordans. You see
those? I got those.
Those are good. Do you have those? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I seen they were going for like, people were selling them for like 500, 600 bucks.
Big bucks.
Just crazy.
Well, John Cena, he wore them WrestleMania. He sent them back, right?
Correct.
That is pretty crazy.
Yeah. I got mine signed by Andy and Bobby Wong. Got them upstairs. I haven't worn them once. I don't know that I ever will because like when would you wear that? Like John Cena wearing them for WrestleMania, totally get it. Like what do I wear those for?
Thanksgiving Eve.
They get messed up.
True.
Like everyone's like spilling drinks. There's like a million people in there.
Fucking Saugus wing sauce everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have like a Thanksgiving Eve. Like our school, like Eastie High. Like
don't have a spot to go.
When he asked me, where do you guys go?
So you didn't understand what he was asking.
I'm usually just like home, like crying.
Yeah. Well, because like all these schools, like the alumni and shit, they'll go out and they'll drink together every Thanksgiving Eve. Like, you know, everyone's in college. They come home for the, you know, for Thanksgiving. They see each other. But Eastie High, it was just like, we never, like the generations before, like my sister's your age and my brother's your age. So their generation did more of that shit. But like our generation, bro, we didn't have that many, like, we had a little clique in school, but it was never like a big, like,
everyone was really just selling like dime bags.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, there was like 400 kids in our graduating class. It was like maybe 50 white kids.
Yeah.
And like half of them were just like dope heads. The other half played hockey. And like, that's who we, you know, that's who we
got a lot of that in Saugus too.
Right. Yeah. So like we got the friends there, you know, but
so I mean, Saugus got the nice high school now.
Yeah. It's nice.
Yeah.
It is
nice.
Yeah,
I saw that. I actually... So yesterday I was going through my childhood bedroom and I found my high school IDs and I tweeted those out and then everyone was like, damn, bro, like you're old as fuck. And
I'm like, what the fuck?
I was like, that's not the point of the picture. I was like, it's for the blow up. I was like, isn't it cool that like I'm wearing like a Red Sox shirt in each picture? Right. And everyone was like, damn, like you were freshman in 03. And I'm like, yeah, right. Like, you're old as fuck.
I can relate to that. When we did the Gronkowski video, it was like, oh, this video with Gronk, it's going to blow up. We did the video with them and everyone in the comments was like, wow, Tommy, you got fucking huge. You got big. I'm like, why are we talking about me when we just
Gronk
did a video with
the whole family? Right. Why is it coming?
Why did you make this about me?
When you were just explaining that, I was confused. I'm like, wait, what are you
about
to say?
The video
went far. No, I know Gronk, now.
And I was like, wait a minute. The guys, you missed the point of the video.
You missed the point.
The whole point. But yeah, bro. Nah, that's funny. I feel like Saugus especially, I mean, we grew up strictly coming to the North Shore. Like we didn't really go. I mean, did you go to the South Shore for anything growing up? Really?
Never. Maybe I went to the Cape once.
Yeah,
that was it.
It's kind of cool to see Square One Mall still kicking.
It's a time capsule. You go in there, like, so. I mean, I I've obviously been going to Square One Mall since they opened. It's exactly the same.
Yeah.
There's nothing new about it.
You think they still do the Santa?
Yeah.
Do they still?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think it's depressing now because when you go in there, I mean, obviously like Amazon, everything like online shopping, they can't even like fill some of the open spots anymore.
Yeah.
So like there's spots in there that used to be big ass stores that they put up these like temporary walls. So like a business would be like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm not paying for 10,000 square feet, but like, I'll give you a rental for like 500 square feet. And then they'll just like take up like a small little space. It's crazy. Like, it's
surprised it's still going.
I am too. Cause they haven't touched it up once. Like it used to be like the colors used to be like purple and shit. Yeah. Now it looks like if you look at it, if you look at Square One Mall, like you'll start to think like, oh, I'm colorblind now.
Yeah.
Like I can see what that color used to be.
The only one that's going strong there is fucking Dick's Sporting Goods.
Dick's Sporting Goods. Going. And, like the Tokyo, you ever go in there and get hibachi?
Oh, One time I did, but I was big on the Master Walk, you know, the Master Walk in the food court.
Yeah.
You go to the Master Walk. It's good.
Yeah. I mean, like, I can't remember like what the position was, but I remember, and I'm sure we'll talk about this, when I was at Barstool, it was like my first off season after I was full time. Mm-hmm. And like, I kind of got to a point where it's like, all right, we're going to go 100% on baseball. And then I can take my foot off the gas like once the season's over, and it's okay because like we made, like in those 8 months, like we made our money, like we're good. Mm-hmm. But that first year I was like, all right, like baseball's over. Like, I don't want to be irrelevant. Like, I don't want to like be doing nothing. Yeah. So like, I gotta be like blogging like random shit now.
Yeah, yeah.
So I blogged about the Square One Mall, and I thought it was a real picture and I totally believed it, but it was a picture. It was around like Christmas time, and it had like the pillars. It was like five pillars, and it was supposed to say Santa. And it said Satan. Wait, and I totally believed that they would fuck that up. Like, yeah, I totally believed that.
Of course.
So then I blogged it. And then like the president of Square One Mall, like sent me an email being like, hey man, like, you know, like you're supposed to be one of us. Like, it's hard enough
Be one of us.
Yeah. Like, it's hard enough to like get any business at this mall. And now like you're making us look bad. And I was like, I thought the picture was real. Like, how am I supposed to like fact check that? But yeah, that was like 2017.
I've had a couple occurrences like that with social media where it actually got back to the people. Like when I first started in 2020, I did a video. I had kids that I valeted with, Revere kids. And they were like, they worked at the Kelly's on Revere Beach part-time too. And they did the valet. And they were like, yeah, dude. He's like, yeah, sometimes we'll just fucking spit in the roast beefs. Fucking fun.
What?
I was like, what? So bro, they told me that when I was like 18. I saw a TikTok 2 years later. So I just did a video. I'm like, guys, just so you know, the Kelly's on Revere Beach spits in their sandwiches. Don't go there. I don't know why I did that. You know, I was just kind of doing videos for fun. I was like, fuck.
We went there and did a food review. So that's the bigger point.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. But it got debunked because it was new. I don't know. Just listen to the story. So I did that. Literally 2 years later, Kelly's hits me up to like have a partnership. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah, let's figure something out. And he was like, on the bottom of the email, he's like, yeah, by the way, do you mind taking down that video you did back in 2020? Cause I'm like, I just started on social media. Like, I had some followers, but I didn't like think that it was going to get back to them.
Yeah.
So I took it down and shit, but it was just funny that got back to them. But yeah, we did do a review there recently. And I honestly forgot about that video.
Everyone was shitting on us. We brought the twins from New York, Nikki and JoJo.
I mean, they kind of had a right to shit on us a little bit. But it was just because Kelly's so recognizable.
So they never had a beef before. And I was like, yo, it's summertime. Wow. I said, bro, we'll go to Kelly's.
It's on the beach. They don't have that in New York.
Yeah. So I was like, we'll just go to Kelly's. It's on the beach. It's summertime. We'll do the review across the street. And they were like, why would you take them to Kelly's? I'm like, oh, that's not the point. So we're not there for the actual taste of the beef. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the taste of the beef. You like the taste of the beef?
No.
Yeah, it actually wasn't good. It was kind of dry, you know. But what's your favorite beef spot, actually? That's a good question.
It used to be Pete's.
Pete's, how about you? You have a favorite roast beef spot?
Mike's Roast Beef. I don't know if it's like, it's on the Saugus Lynn border. I don't know who claims it.
Yeah.
Right on the corner of like Saugus and Lynn.
Oh, not Mike's, like Everett Mike's? Near the casino?
I was thinking casino.
Different Mike's?
Different Mike's.
Well, there's a bunch, kid. There's Glenn's.
I heard Jamie's is fire. Have you ever had Jamie's?
Yeah, it's in Woburn, I think. You know, Bill and Bob's in Woburn. Stop listening.
I'm not big on the Jersey Mike's every day now. I get my roast beef there.
Yeah, really? We actually raided your fridge as soon as we walked in. We seen the Jersey Mike's.
Jersey
in
Mike's,
there.
Yeah.
What do you get from Jersey? It's a beef. You get the beef from there.
I get like a roast beef with like cheese and mustard.
Damn. And cheese and mustard.
Yeah.
Yeah, Saugus, huh?
You're not a three-way guy?
Nah. That's I'm cool. Weird when it comes to food. I'm very plain.
Yeah, plain Jane. Yeah. I feel that.
Interesting.
You cook? You don't cook, right?
I don't cook.
I got prosciutto poppy. So.
I was just, I was honestly going to say when we walked in, I was like, yo, you still haven't cooked in here, huh? No.
You can how just can you tell?
That's a year later.
Yeah, how can you tell?
I don't know, the Starbucks cups.
And the decorations. I'd come home and have an anxiety attack.
I didn't do any of this. I literally, like, my sister is obsessed with Christmas. And she was like, because I have a Christmas tree. It's in one of those boxes. I've never owned a Christmas tree before.
Yeah.
And she was just like, this is your first Christmas as a homeowner. Like, we're not decorating for Christmas this year. So I just gave her my credit card. I was sitting, like, we were both sitting at the bar. And she just
that's dope.
Spent a bunch of money on like Christmas. It's like whatever you see here, she did.
She decorated.
And she bought with my money.
How's it feel to be a homeowner your first year?
It feels good. Like, I feel like a different person.
I mean, you went from the Fenway condo or whatever that, whatever you want to call
it's like
it.
Like a penthouse.
It was like a penthouse. It's literally night and day.
Yeah.
You had your fucking concierge trying to break into your apartment.
Yeah.
In Fenway. So now you have a whole home to yourself.
I don't think I'd be mad at that, though.
Why?
That situation.
Why?
I don't know.
Why?
I kind of like it.
What? It was a dude.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
Huh.
I'm kidding, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was a wild scene. But yeah, I missed that apartment though. Like,
it was sick, bro. I remember when you first got it, we were talking, and what was that, 2022 when we first like met?
22,
like,
yeah.
And you
this is like the third place that I've lived that you've been to now.
Yeah, fuck.
You came to the Saugus place too.
One
the Hilltop.
Near the Hilltop. He was in those apartments.
Those are okay. You liked it all?
They were nice.
I mean, the one that I was in was nice. It was like two floors.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, that one was two floors, had the loft. And then the Fenway one was two floors with the
Fenway
the deck.
One was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is fucking weird. That was like when we first started fucking chopping it up. But yeah, bro, I mean, since we're on the topic of Fenway, we got to talk the Red Sox and talk your career.
Yeah.
So why don't you take us back to the beginning of the Rocket, man? Oh, I mean, God. I mean, obviously the Rocket's a whole story in itself, but just like how you grew up and stuff. I mean, you grew up in Saugus, so I guess start from there and when baseball kind of came into your life.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember a life without it, really. I mean, I wasn't good at baseball, which is why
I don't know about that. I heard you threw a no-hitter.
I did throw a no-hitter. The ball's in there. I think it's right there.
Yeah,
I can see
it. It was like Saugus versus
Wakefield.
Ball's
right there.
You know, it was Rivera, actually. You were playing like Rivera.
That's the ball right there. It's sitting right there.
Who'd you play? Was it Rivera?
It was against Rivera, yeah.
Little rivalry game?
It was an all-star game.
Bunch of punks on Rivera. Yeah.
Bunch of punks. All-stars. 6'5", 04. Never forget. 13 strikeouts.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I wasn't that good. So that's why the people from Saugus that don't like me, don't like me.
Really? You think
Yeah, so? Because it started when I put my book out. I wrote a book when I was 18, finished it when I was 19, published it when I was 20.
And this was before or after Barstool?
Way before.
Before Barstool.
Yeah.
So what was like the thought process behind that?
The book?
Yeah, just to do it. Like, like a hobby of yours to write?
Yeah, like I started out like writing when I was 16 and I started my blog and like it popped off quick. Like I had like this, like you guys weren't on MySpace, but this was like in the MySpace days and it had like 150,000 like followers or whatever. And that was just in the first year. And then I ended up like on Nessun when I was 18, like doing stuff with like Jerry Remy. Damn. And then, so I just like started writing a book that was like about like my personal experiences going to games, but it was like telling like the story of the Red Sox, like my firsthand experiences or whatever, which is crazy now. Cause like all the good shit happened after the book ends, like all the good stuff happened after
you
that.
Write
like,
another book.
It's just crazy how life works though. You must've felt like so good though, when you're like 17, like, going like with Jerry Remy on Nessun.
Right.
Like, think about that back in the day with no phone and like you grew up about like being so passionate.
Like, that's
and then
like the top then. Like that had to be like the pinnacle, right?
Like, yeah. I mean, like you think you're like, man, I wrote a book. Like fucking bam. Like,
I made it.
Yeah. Like all these kids are like, oh, I got a college degree. It's like, cool. I'm a fucking published author.
But like, do you see how like you just like, just by starting to write in that book opened a whole, like everything you do now really started with that.
Yeah. It gives you legitimacy. Like I think like, you know, the book came out in 2009. I won like all the blog awards in 2011. And that's when I met Dave Portnoy in person for the first time. Like we had connected over Facebook in like 07, 08. And like, we kind of like kept in touch like through Facebook back then, but I met him in 2011. Like there were just like a lot of like pivotal moments, I guess, like in those like earlier days, but definitely like writing and putting out a book, like it made other people look at you differently because before it's like, oh, you're just a blogger. Like, yeah. Oh, you wrote a blog. Like, no motherfucker. I wrote a book.
Right.
Like it's on like the summer reading list for Saugus High. Yeah. Like, fuck you.
Well, honestly, bro, being from here too, like Saugus or Boston or whatever it is, like they, everything that's kind of creative is kind of pushed down. Like if you're not working a blue collar job, breaking your back, you're just a pussy. You know what I mean? That's kind of the mindset around it. So putting out a book is like, I'm sure a lot of people looked at that like, oh, this kid's a pussy. Like who's this kid trying to be?
You know? Yeah, that's what it was. So like the two things like why people from Saugus didn't like me was A, when I wrote the book, they were like, why does he think that people give a fuck about what he has to say?
It's crazy.
We sold out of the first run in like a few months. And then they also didn't like me because it was like, oh, it was like in 18 when like all like the rocket stuff happened and like, I'm like doing all that shit. And they're like, I remember you in high school. Like you weren't any fucking good. I'm like, that's the joke.
Yeah. That's the joke. I don't even want to jump up there yet. So tell me like your first interaction with Dave. You said 07, 08.
Yeah. I think he wanted to make my sister a smoke show. And I was like, really? Fuck you will, Dave. Wait,
that's how the first interaction was with him?
Yeah. I think it was like one of those.
Do you remember that the Boston smoke shows? Like they would post
them. I didn't find out about Boston until Dave started doing like the COVID when he would do the unboxing.
So you didn't really know anything about
it? That's when you fucking discovered Dave.
Swear to God.
I was in the background of those.
Really?
Yeah, because he, like people, I mean, not to jump ahead, but when COVID happened, a lot of people that were living in New York like dispersed, like they went home and there weren't that many people left in New York. And I was still there. And he like sent out like a message being like, yo, is anyone still in New York? Because I need people to like help me clean. Like they were sending shit to his apartment. He was like drowning and stuff.
Crazy.
So I was like, yeah, like I'll come help out. Like knowing like this dude's trying to get rid of a lot of cool shit. Like, I don't know where it is. Like it's still here somewhere. Like my massage gun that I have, that's from Dave's unboxing. I got a bunch of cool shit that like I still use and it was all from like Dave's apartment.
So what do you mean he wanted to like, so he reach out to you to make your sister a smoke show?
No, he didn't reach out to me. I reached out to him being like, fuck you, dude.
Did he answer you?
Yeah. I mean, like
was he accessible then? Like pretty accessible?
Yeah. So like, I don't know I don't know that he was that accessible to everybody, but like I started my blog in 2006, which was kind of like Barstool started in 2003, but they probably around that same time is when they got their website. Like they were a newspaper first and then he kind of like made it into a blog and I discovered them very early on in like the website days. And I wasn't edgy then. I don't really think I'm edgy now, but like there is definitely time periods where I was.
Yeah.
Like I didn't even swear back then. Like I didn't start swearing in my content until 2013.
Really?
Yeah. So anything that I thought was like edgy that I thought appealed to like the Barstool audience, but wasn't so much like my audience, I would just send it to him. Then he would like blog it or do whatever with it. He had the idea of like, all right, like he gets the Barstool way of thinking. Like he may not make the content that we make, but like he gets it. So that's kind of like how we first started talking in the beginning. And then I would like reach out to him being like, hey, like if I get X amount of clicks, like what can I charge for a banner ad? Like what can I charge for that? Like he would help me out with like advertising and he would give me like numbers and like whatever else. So like that's kind of how we like built our relationship.
So when you say blog, because like I feel like a lot like people might not know what that is. I don't even really know what it is.
I'm like, do you know what
blogging is? Am I just too young? Like is blogging like a thing still?
Blog.
What is like a blog though?
Like, it's just like a website where like you just it's like articles and shit.
Oh, I use
it's like a Facebook wall, like you like write like Twitter, like, is it anything comparable?
I thought we do the blogs with the cameraman following us around.
That's a vlog.
Like, you've never been to like Barstool's website before?
What did you just say?
Blog and vlogs are two different things.
Yeah, a vlog is a video blog.
So you never correct me the whole time. I'm like, yo, we're out here blogging. I got the camera.
Say vlogging. I don't say vlogging.
Yeah, wow. Vlog.
Jesus.
It's just a video blog. Like a blog, you're writing shit.
But like, isn't it like you'll click on someone's profile and you'll see all their blogs, like Twitter?
No.
No? Twitter's obviously like little excerpts, but like a blog is a full article, correct?
It can be whatever you want it to be. Like if, you know, like right now, for example, like Travis Kelce's old tweets, like from like 2010 up. Are popping off right now. So everyone's going back to his old shit. Like if I found like one of his old tweets about the Red Sox, then I'd be like, you know, Travis Kelce secretly loves the Red Sox.
Yeah.
That would be like the title. And then you would embed the tweet and then I would put my commentary underneath.
And that would be on what? Barstool.com or something?
BarstoolSports.com. Because Barstool, they don't own Barstool.com.
Okay.
That's a different dude that hates Dave.
Wait, really? That's a thing?
Mm-hmm. What the fuck?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You there's know what's a dude that like all the hates stuff he- Dave and he got the...
When did he buy it?
A long time ago. Oh, and shit. He has been... He like, I don't know where he's at on me right now. Like he's first of all, like,
Dave or the guy?
The guy.
Oh, okay.
He liked me and then he didn't like me and then I don't know.
Does he
post
on it?
No. So what he does is he'll make it redirect. So when I left Barstool to go to DraftKings, if you went to barstool.com, like it redirected to like my DraftKings.
Really?
Like pay. Yeah. To like, cause he hates Dave.
That's yo, fucking crazy.
Dave. I'll fucking hunt him down.
Dave.
Yeah, he's a special individual.
All right, real quick before we go any further, what was your thoughts on Dave's review of the Somerville Pizza Place?
I didn't see it. I don't really watch, like, I don't know.
You didn't see it?
No.
The one that went viral? The one that he was like shitting on the dude and then the guy came out and he was like,
oh, that one, that
the
one.
The Dragon Pizza. What the fuck was it called?
He was like, yo, Dave, I really like what you're doing all, but I don't appreciate you.
Yeah.
And just goes in. I don't like what you do for small businesses. Like, I raised fucking all this money for small businesses. No, I did see that.
Yeah. I mean, it was funny. It was.
I wonder how his, if it went like positively for him after, because mad people were going there after to try the pizza.
Yeah, I think they both made out. Like, Dave like looks like a tough guy.
We should have went there and did a fucking crazy video up front the next day.
Just fucked with him, right? Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, but people still went and like supported.
Yeah, no, I know.
He's probably making like, you know, 5x what he was before.
Crazy, bro. It's crazy like the impact that that has on the places.
Yeah.
But yeah, all right. So you met. So what happened after that? So what was your next interaction with Dave or Barstool? How did you kind of get into that circle?
I met him at it was like the 2011 New England Sports Blog Awards and he was hosting it and I just like won everything. Damn. And when I went up there to like accept like the last one, I was like, the only reason why I won like best overall New England sports blog is because Barstool wasn't nominated. And I just like remember seeing his face and he was just like, what? Like he was like taken aback that it was kind of like my moment and I gave it to him. But it was true. Like the way that it worked was like they did like best Red Sox, best Bruins, best Patriots, best Celtics. And then from those winners, the winner of best overall was picked.
Gotcha.
So like Barstool wasn't eligible cause like they weren't like a team specific thing or whatever, which I was like, whatever. So then like we kept in touch and, I actually got the job kind of because of Feidelberg.
Mm.
Like, I was dating this girl, this is 2014 and I'm on the field for the pregame ceremony,
2014. Oh, I feel like we're jumping over shit with the Red Sox too, because you got in with the Red Sox before Barstool. Oh no.
Yeah. I got in with the Red Sox in like 07. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. All right. So how did you get in with the Red Sox? I feel like this story is like,
as she's seeing these dates, I'm sitting here in my head. I'm like, dude, I was 8 years old. Like, no wonder why I don't know Barstool and none of this shit. Yeah.
I was 14 in 2014.
Like, I'm like, what the fuck? That's why I don't understand.
How did you get in with the Red Sox first? Like, what was like that process like?
They had an election for president of Red Sox Nation.
When?
2007.
Okay.
And that was like, when it first started, it was like Dennis Leary, Ben Affleck.
Jesus Christ.
Like all these like Boston
celebrities.
Yeah. And then like obviously Jerry Remy was the top dog, but like my blog was like pretty big at the time. So the fans like voted me in. Like I didn't run because like I was shy. Like I didn't fucking.
That's funny as fuck.
Yeah. Like I didn't want anything to do with it. But they wrote my name in so many times that I ended up in the top 10. Like I beat out like all like the fucking like celebrity, like Red Sox fans and all that. So then I ended up finishing third and that was like my first time on TV. Like they did like a debate and I mean, I've basically just like, there's a lot of people that were with the Red Sox then that are still there now.
Mm-hmm.
Like Sam Kennedy is the president and CEO of the Boston Red Sox.
So you were on their radar early on.
Yeah. Like I was literally 18 years old. That's and they so were crazy. Like,
is this when you had your Boston accent still?
Yeah.
Bro, those clips of you when you were younger are fucking hilarious.
People think that like I'm like faking it. Like if
he's like, I'm in my fucking car going by Fenway Park.
Got my fucking starting pitches over bro, here, dude. That's awesome. Yeah, like my Boston accent was like very, 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 very
Saugus
strong.
Saugus guy, man. Yeah. Saugus accent. Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. So you, all right. So when were you like kind of, did you, so obviously you get like fucking VIP treatment there now, but was it like that then? Or how long did it take to kind of build up to getting your own seat above the palm plate and all that shit?
Yeah. It's weird to think about now. Cause like, I mean, like there's nothing like in my life that like I don't have that I would like want. And it's like largely because of that, where like, if you ask, you know, high school Jared, like what's your dream life? Like I'm fucking living it. Like
it's the dream
like,
life.
Yeah, awesome, like I can just walk into Fenway and like
literally do what you want.
Yeah. Sit where I want. And like, people are so nice. Like they treat me fucking awesome there.
That's great.
You live in a big house in Saugus.
Yeah. Like I think, like, I don't know when it happened, probably like around like 2015, maybe like when I first started, it was kind of like when I first started at Barstool, but, there was this bar called the Baseball Tavern and everyone would go there after the games, like all like the Fenway employees, like security and like servers and everything like that. Like that was our place to go. So every Friday, if the Red Sox were home, we would go to the Baseball Tavern.
Yeah.
So you just like kind of like make friends with all the people that work there. And, you know, like one thing leads to another and it's like, all right, like these are like my real life friends now. Yeah, like it's so not
building,
just like
just building relationships with the people there.
Yeah. Like it's not even just like, oh, like these people.
Who's like the most powerful person to get by before you get in? Like who holds like the, if you get like the security at the door, like if you get by them, are you pretty much set to go wherever you want in the place? Or who was like the number one person you needed the juice from to get in there?
I mean, like at the end of the day, like, you know, like Sam Kennedy is the president and CEO of the Boston Red Sox. Like I've never needed to really ask him for anything. I think in 2010, I asked him for press passes and he was like, we don't credential bloggers, but like, I'll give you a pair of tickets to like 10 games of your choosing.
Oh, that's dope.
And I was like, that's fucking sick. But that's like the only time that I've really like ever asked him for anything. Everything else has just been like networking. It's just like,
fell into place,
like it's never been like a power play where it's like, oh, like I know this person, so you better let me in. It's really just like, I know this security person and they know that security person. And like, we've all like, went out drinking together. Like we're all friends. Like we all know each other here. Like the big thing is just like, treat people with respect, you know, like don't like treat people like, oh, like you're beneath me. It's like, no. Like we all go out together. Like I'll pick up the tab. Like I appreciate what you guys do. Like there was one year at the end of the year where, I bought fucking like Dunkin' Donuts gift cards for all like the security people. Cause I was just like, you know, you guys don't have to like let me in. Like you guys don't have to like take care of me like this. So I just, whatever. Like it's like a way to just be like, you know, I'm not taking advantage of you. Like just know that I appreciate that you take good care of me. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good to, you got to reciprocate it in some way. But
yeah,
the first like game we went to last year, bro, I remember like, I don't even know what I was. I drove in, I parked and this, you were just like, just come to gate. What is it? Gate D. I'm like, all right. So I parked mad fire to park near like the college over there. What is it? Simmons or Emerson or whatever Simmons, the fuck it is. Walked over and I'm like, I hope I fucking get in. I'm like, I have no ticket, Jared. Just like, show up. I'm good. You're good. Just show up. Like, I'm like, all right. Like, yeah, sure. I mean, this is like, too, like we don't really know each other that well yet. Like we hung out a couple of times. He was like, yeah, let's go to opening game. I'm like, all right. So I go to the door, the gate, and he's just there with the security guard. He lets us in. And bro, like we go up to the, what is it called? That club.
Pavilion.
Is that what it's called? The pavilion?
Yeah.
It's like a big like club. There's like a buffet, there's drink, you know, bar and all that. And then you literally have like your own two seats.
Yeah.
Like he has his own two seats reserved there.
That's
like,
so sick.
Is it there every game? Like open for you, those seats?
No, I mean, but like they'll always like find a place for me. I mean, they're super fucking nice. But like it's like so like Ruth is my server every time. Like they know when I go up there. Like Ruth is my girl, so they'll like put me in Ruth's section. and like I know everyone's names.
Yeah, that's
like I go up there and it's like there, like you go over to the desk and like there's Allie and Nicole and like there's Karen at the door.
A lot of those people have been there for like a long time.
Yeah.
You don't know about camping out for the World Series tickets at the box office. No.
So why'd you just say that?
It was a thing.
Yeah, I mean camping out for tickets. Yeah. Remember the Cardinals World Series? Remember that? St. Louis Cardinals? That was World Series, right? What year was that?
Cardinals, the Rockies.
The Rockies. I remember the Rockies. That was 07.
Troy Tulowitzki was nowhere to be found.
Troy Tulowitzki.
Nowhere to be found.
Was that the Rockies' best player?
The time, yeah, right?
Yeah, him and like Matt Holliday.
Crazy.
Damn.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Roy Holliday died, right? That one?
He did.
Just got dark.
Anyway. I was thinking, I'm like, wait, he died. And I was like, no, it's the picture.
Intrusive thoughts. Yeah. So what's the Boston story then? So now I heard the Red Sox story. So what's the Boston story?
How I got the job there?
Yes.
I was dating this girl, blonde girl. Attractive girl.
Brittany? What's her name?
Saugus girl.
Guess the name. Guess.
Saugus girl.
Brittany? That's a guess?
Blonde?
That's a good guess, but...
Ashley?
Allie.
No. Nope.
All right. Well, you don't have to say the name. Either way, keep continuing.
So she was taking pictures of me down in the field. I was in the pregame ceremony before the game.
Yeah.
And Nesson, like, filmed it. And then use that shot later in the game. Like during like the seventh inning, they just showed like a shot of her in the crowd. And then people took pictures of their TVs, sent it to Barstool. Feitelberg blogged the picture of her being like, send out the smoke patrol at Fenway. And then people tweeted him being like, yo, that's Karabas's girlfriend.
That's fucking
and
funny.
And then Feitelberg followed me and then went to Dave and was like, and then he like saw that like I did Red Sox stuff. And he was like, yo, like, we should hire this guy as our Red Sox guy. And Dave was like, I know who he is. Like, we have known him for like 7 years.
That's funny.
And then he just assumed because I had my own website that he was like, well, he has his own thing. Like, he wouldn't want to work for Barstool. And then they asked me and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I was like, of course. Like, and back then, I mean, like, Barstool was not what it is right now. Like, you couldn't, it wasn't a no-brainer.
What year is this? He's a 2014.
So, like, they're not handing out, you know, full-time salaries with benefits and all this shit.
Are they in New York yet?
No. So like, this is like, all right, I'm hired by Bar. Yeah, they're still in Boston. Oh. There's Milton. And
damn.
So that was kind of like the thing was like, you know, it had a reputation. I had no issue with it, but like, it was almost like, all right, like if you work for Barstool, like, you know, you're in it now. Yeah. Like, it's like the mob. It's like, you can't like get that off of you. Like, once you're in it, you're in it. Like, are you good with that? And I was like, yeah, like, of course. I was getting paid $500 a month when I started. Like that's the thing. It's like, it wasn't the fucking glitz and glam of Barstool it is now.
You living
like,
on your own or at home?
I was still living with my parents then.
Yeah. How old are you at this point?
24.
Damn, my age, bro. How crazy is that?
Yeah,
that's our age. Both of our age, 24 years old.
Yeah,
crazy. So I just had a question. I just blanked. But yeah, no. So you started. You worked there until. I mean, you got there in 2014.
Yeah.
And then, what was the next step from there? Did you like? How long were you there until they kind of like promoted you up or got your own podcast, your show?
So, Section 10 was the second Barstool podcast ever.
And that's your Red Sox show.
Yeah.
And did you have that before or you started it there?
We started in 15 and it was like KFC Radio was number one. Dave didn't see the value in podcasting.
Crazy.
But like I was definitely like influenced by KFC Radio because we used to do like the voicemails like he does and Stone Cold Steve Austin's podcast where like that was the first time that there was ever content of like a wrestler interviewing wrestlers, but wrestler was not in character. So like that first year of Section 10, like we were interviewing like Boston media personalities. And it was the first time that people were ever hearing them without their shtick.
Yes.
Like Tony Maz, Mike Felger, Kirk Minahan, like all these people that you always hear them on the radio, but like, what are they like as actual people?
It's like watching our videos in the deli and then like when getting interviewed, like, you're not really like playing up to that character or whatever the fuck you're trying
to be. Like that shit just didn't exist back then. Yeah. So I did that in 15, and then 16 is when Chernin bought Barstool and Dave, like I remember like we went to his house and then we walked to like some coffee shop near his house that he doesn't own anymore. We had a conversation about me going full time and he insists that full time was always on the table. It wasn't like, maybe he thought that he mentioned that at some point, but like any conversation that we had about like full time, I was just like, what does that entail? Because like, I'm a Red Sox guy. I was like, no one cares about what my thoughts are about like pop culture.
Right.
Like if Justin Bieber puts out a music video, like I'm not vlogging about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in his mind, he thought that he was like, well, full time would mean like national MLB. Like you would go from covering just the Red Sox to the whole league or whatever. Yeah. And he never said that until 2016. So when he said it like that, like, hey, you'll just be, instead of a Red Sox guy, you'll be our baseball guy. And I was like, fucking yeah. Like, of course. Sick. Yes. So yeah, then I went full time in 16.
That's dope. I remember my first question now. So when you went there in 2014, how many people were there at that point?
I was employee number 13 in the company. Damn.
Bro, that's crazy. Fucking
insane.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Pieces of talent were there? Because obviously you probably have back end guys, right? Behind the camera guys.
Was it all
pretty much talent?
Gets credit for employee number 2. And I mean, he's not on camera. I don't know how many were like on camera versus off. It was probably
stool sales guy. Is that Gaz?
Yeah.
I seen him on, he follows me on Instagram, I think.
Yeah. Gaz is great.
It's funny. Yeah. But that's crazy. You were literally there from the ground up, which explains like when you ended up leaving for DK, like why there was like some controversy there or whatever it was. But
yeah,
do you want to talk about, actually, no, before even that, let's talk about 2018. That was a big year. Probably your biggest year, would you say? One of your biggest years?
That was the best year of my life.
Yeah.
We talk about that
best
a lot.
Best year of your life?
Talk about year, yeah.
You motivate us a lot with that. You know that?
I mean, listen, like when you guys were here like when I first bought this house and I still haven't put up the pictures of like 18 or whatever, but I will. And I remember like, you know, having those up in my like apartment in like 2020 or whatever. And like some girl came over and she was like, really, you have pictures of yourself hanging up on the wall? And I was like, they're not, I didn't go to the fucking mall and take portraits.
Right.
Like these are the best.
This is like moments your childhood dream. Like this is your childhood dream. Like,
if you work hard, like remember, this is what you can fucking do.
Right.
Like that's why they're there. Like it has nothing to do with like,
she made it like,
oh,
it
I
was
look
about,
good in this one.
Right. Like it was about your ego or whatever the
no.
fuck.
No, like it had nothing to do with like, oh man, like this, yeah, I fucking like this outfit. Like, no, like this is the best day of my fucking life.
Right.
And you know, like around like 19, 20, 21, like I had big issues with like anxiety, depression, all that stuff. And it was just a reminder of like, bro, like, stuff like this is possible. Like if you can figure your shit out and like work hard, be right place, right time, and make the most of the opportunity that you have with your job and everything. So yeah, like eventually I'll put that up. I mean, I've been here for like a year now and I still haven't hung them up yet, but yeah, it was the best day of my life. Like, I don't think that
you were in New York when that was going down. You were always in Boston. You were in New York.
I mean, I was in New York the whole time, but so for that season, every weekend that the Red Sox were home, it was like I would work in the office Monday through Friday, whatever, take the train to Boston Friday morning, come in, go to 18 was the first year that that the Red Sox gave me press passes. So I would take the train Friday morning, get in, go to batting practice at 3, go to the game Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, take the train back Sunday night, be back in the office by Monday.
Talk to me about the duck boat experience. How was that when they won the World Series? Number one, how did you even get on a duck boat? Like how did you get tight with the team, that 2018 team?
There's like an on-record story and an off-record story. I'll tell you the on-record story.
The on-record story? All right, we'll hear it.
I mean, it was networking, really. Yeah. Like I think that there was definitely a point because the Red Sox finished in last place in 14 and 15. And there was like, you know, my earlier Barstool years, like you think to yourself, like, oh, I'm at Barstool now, so I have to be edgier and I have to like cover the team in a way that the Globe and the Herald can't cover the team. So if a guy sucks, it's not just enough to say he sucks. Like I've got to like make like a funny one-liner that is like very offensive or insult. Just got to rip these dudes apart. And so I had a lot of like bad relationships with guys on the team. And it took a little while to mend those fences. And I think, you know, Alex Cora getting hired in 18 helped a lot. Cause like I knew Alex from, I mean, like we're the only two people that would be like in the winter of 2015 tweeting about Caribbean Series baseball. Like we're the only two dudes on Twitter, like watching these like Caribbean Series games. And we just connected because, you know, it's like, all right, like this dude fucking loves baseball.
Yeah.
So I knew Alex when he got hired. I became friends with JD Martinez when he was like in his free agency process. And then he signed with the Red Sox. So it's like, all right, I got a built-in friend there. And then some of like the minor league guys, like Brian Johnson, like I was friends with him before he got called up and then he gets called up. So, I mean, it was kind of like some of the dudes in the clubhouse were like, fuck that dude. And then, but then it was like other guys that had more say, like David Price, he signs with the team. Like some of these dudes, like I fuck with this guy. They had rank over the guys that didn't have.
That's really how it is, bro.
Yeah.
Even we see that with some shit that we, like some of the relationships we built.
Big time.
It's funny. Yeah. Yeah. If you're with, if you have relationships on the Celtics and Jason Tatum says he likes you, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks, you know?
Yeah.
It's funny.
David Price was nice.
Bro, he stepped up in that.
I didn't even see him before the Sox. He was on Tampa, right?
Yeah,
on
and tripping. Then he went to Toronto, and then he signed here. And
but didn't he have a shit first season or something? And then or was it during the 2018 season? He like picked it up towards the end because I remember in the playoffs he like
it was a very turbulent time.
He turned it up in the World Series, and he was like, nasty on Tampa because all the media would shit on him.
Yeah,
he was like, oh, now I have the Trump card on you guys,
right?
Because
I always had his back. Yeah. He shouted me out at his press conference.
That's sick. Wait, really?
When he signed with the Red Sox and they did the introductory press conference, like he shouted me out. And that was, I think, when Dave was like, the
holy
fuck
shit
is going on here?
Holy
like,
shit,
and I've always said this about Dave, where it's just, I think whoever you are when you meet him is who you'll always be to him in his eyes.
Let's go.
First, why did you say let's go?
Let me fall fight up.
We never met him yet.
Gonna.
So you're going to be on your heels now when you meet him.
Well, yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah. So like I was
big
always
on first impressions. Like his first impressions.
Like it's just, I think in his eyes, like I'll always just be like Jared from Saugus, like the teenage blogger or whatever. So like when stuff like that would happen, like David Price shouting us out at the press conference or like being in the parade, he's just like, what the fuck? Like this, why?
Yeah.
Like you?
Why?
Oh, because he sees you as the like little Saugus kid. No, it's dope.
It's not always a good thing.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Pros and cons to it,
of course.
Yeah.
You could also, you have all that shit to back yourself up too, though, you know?
Like, yeah. It's like yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. I know the value that I bring.
But. Right. Yeah. But he is a person that it seems like he stands on what he says and there's not really much that you can do to move his.
Yeah. But to the, on that something. Same note, like it's, I see him still as like, the Dave that I met, you know, like you're Dave from Swampskit, you know,
Swampskit.
Yeah. Like he,
is he the same person still?
Depends on who you are. Mm. Like, I think like I can still have a conversation with him and like look him in the eye and like, you know, he can be skinny Dave, tan Dave, rich Dave, whatever, hair transplant Dave. And like when I look into his eye, like I can still like,
you see Milton Dave still.
Yeah. Like I can still like talk to that guy. Like that guy's not gone, but it depends. Like if you meet him today, like, you know, I think he is who he is depending on like how you treat him. Like, I think we kind of just like treat each other how we always
have. I feel like you kind of have to respect that though.
Yeah. 100%. I prefer that. Like
he stands on business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. He does. Duck Boat though. How was that experience?
It was amazing.
Best day of your life.
Yeah. Like it was the most validating experience because it wasn't just, oh, you're only there because you know so-and-so.
Yeah.
I think it was like, we know a bunch of fucking dudes on this team. And not only that, it was less about the team thing. And it was more about when we were on the duck boats, me and Coley, we looked out into the crowd and there were Section 10 shirts everywhere.
That's sick.
Like there were people that had signs for us.
Right. Yeah. That, that like, is different.
Yeah. Like
it's really part of the team.
Yeah. Like it's like, listen, at the end of the day, I didn't throw any pitches. I didn't hit any home runs. Like I know I didn't contribute to this championship at all. Like that, I'm not saying I deserve to be there. I'm not saying that I earned to be there. I know that I was very fortunate and I know that I was very lucky, but the fact that we got the experience and like, there is definitely like, you know, people that had nothing to do, like didn't play on the team, were not players, whatever, they were in the parade. And like, I'm sure that that was very fun for them, but to see all that shit out there. And it's like, that was fucking nuts. Yeah, like, it is nuts. A World Series parade. And we are on the duck boat with Rafael Devers, who just got $330 million. JD Martinez was the best hitter on the fucking team. Yeah. And people were screaming for us.
For you guys. Right.
It's like, that's what the fucking fuck? Nuts.
No, bro.
And you, because you guys, I feel like you're like the voice of the fans. You know what I mean? Like you kind of, you provide that, that circle for people, you know, when they listen to
it. It's
show.
Also like people that are all from the area, they see another person up there. That's from wait a minute. That's he's like he's one of us. Like damn.
You actually you have a vlog on YouTube of that whole day?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like a collection.
You have a
of
clip
the,
with Rafi. Rafi's all your eyes are all both ripped.
All banged up.
Yeah. You and Rafi.
Yeah.
That shit's crazy.
You got Rafi's cousin Javi in the deli. You seen that one? His cousin?
Deli?
Yeah, his cousin Javi came in the deli.
Oh yeah,
we gotta show you that.
Yeah, show me.
Yeah, it was funny. He's a Baba. Yeah, bro, that's sick.
Snuck that in there. He's a Baba. He is.
That's sick, bro. The World Series. What do you think? What do you think's gonna be our first parade? Think we're ever gonna make it? Parade?
That's what I was trying to say. I'm like, how much do we always talk about it?
Yeah, we do. I'm like,
he always brings
it
up
because we have some connections with like some of the sports teams and like we know some people that have positions that could potentially move some needles, you know. We know some players, so I'm always like, damn, like that would be fucking crazy to be in a championship parade in the city. I mean, for me specifically, I was always a Bruins fan growing up.
Yeah.
So Bruins would be sick, but I've grown very fond towards NBA. Celtics, we know some of the Celtics guys too. Yeah. Not like Tatum or Brown or any of them yet, but some of like, you know, like Pritchard, Sam Hauser, those guys. And I'm like, I wonder if we could ever finagle our way into one of these one day. That'd be sick.
It's insane.
Yeah, it is crazy. So what's your take on the team now? I mean, obviously that happened, hit some road bumps since then, but how you feeling about the team now?
They got to do some shit. I mean, like it's just two last place seasons is just, I mean, it sucks all the fun out of it.
Yeah.
Like I'm not going to like tell people like, oh man, like get fired up for this team if I don't believe it. Like I think, and that's kind of like where I ran into some problems this year was like, you know, you have some guys on the team that aren't good. I'm like, this guy fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Straight up.
And then I say it. And the players get mad. And yeah, I'm like, bro, what do you want me to say?
I know it's tough. It is
like, there's only so many ways that you can describe a player that's not good. Like, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Like, they want me to be professional. Like, that's not what I do. Like, I'm not a journalist. Like, I have my own platform and I'm going to say what I want to say.
Your own voice too. Yeah.
Definitely makes it tough because now you down on the field, you see some of them and say, oh yeah, she suck.
And that happens. And like, they will like some of them will just like retreat. Like they don't want the confrontation.
Have you had any like bad confrontations with players?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bunch.
Like, yeah. Dude, that's, and has that ever affected any of your relationships with other like players that you've had good relationships with?
Yeah, kind of, but like I've never like in only one instance, it's the most recent one. I've never not been able to work something out.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've never had like issues with guys personally. It's just like, if I criticize you for not being good and you get mad about it, then you're just going to like pout or whatever, huff and puff and go talk shit to other people. But it's going to get back to me at some point.
Right.
But like, I'm always someone that if you got a problem, like come talk to me, like we'll have a conversation about it. And like, there's nothing that I won't stand by. Mm-hmm. Like I'll never like come after your family. Like I'll never like come after you personally or whatever. Yeah. But I mean, there's nothing that I won't have a conversation about. Mm-hmm. Some guys just don't want to have a conversation. Like they want to like huff and puff and be mad about it. And it's like, if that's what you want to do, then that's fine.
Yeah.
But you're not going to sit here and go 0-9, fucking 9 strikeouts and not have, and I'm not going
to
say anything.
Yeah. Like, what do you want me to say?
Yeah.
And like, what do I get for sticking my neck out for you? Like if that's the case, right? Some dude goes 0 for 9 with 9 strikeouts and he absolutely sucks and I protect you. All right, well then what's in it for me?
Well, yeah.
You know, like when you get seriously hot, are you coming on the podcast when everyone fucking like loves you again? Or are you just going to be like, oh bro, like you're supposed to be our guy. Like that's what like some of the people will say. It'd be like, oh, you're supposed to be our guy. Like, you know, have the back of the boys. All right, well, when are the boys going to have my back?
Right, what are the boys going to have my
you know,
back?
What the fuck do I get out of this? But like, you know, that was was 2018 where it was just like, all right, like I'll stick my neck out for you. But like, guess what? You're going to come on the podcast. All right, cool. Like it's like a two-way street. But like some of them now, it's just like, oh no, like you're supposed to be our guy. Hmm. And you're supposed to say that we're good when we're not. Because you're our guy. It's like,
how does that work?
Yeah, no.
That actually then you just lose all your credibility with your fan base.
Right. Right. So I don't do that. I can tell who's on the way out. 25 show, check the payout. I ain't going home, I'ma stay out. Motherfuckers hate you when they looking for a way out. I just sit back and let it play out. And she gonna let me hit it any day now. What you gonna say now? My ex girl got a bait now. But she still let me stay now. I got a Dallas and a H-Town boo. Got a bait.